Welcome to Songwriter Trists, an intimate podcast that interviews artists about the art of songwriting and find out more about the life behind the songs. I'm singer-songwriter Ray Lee, your host for this show. Music saved my life, and I want to talk to other songwriters about the power of songwriting, talk about their journey and how they got to where they are today. This is a safe space to share stories, lessons, and emotions, all the great things that build an amazing song. For more information on this podcast and the guests, visit songwritertrists.com. Welcome to a songwriter tryst with the artist known as Aesthetic, but also known as Brandon. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm good. I was excited to find you in I think it was a Facebook group, wasn't it? And I listened to your tracks and I was like, I love this positivity and the beats and what you're doing. So I was like, let's have a chat. I'm going to call you Brandon because I have a bit of a lisp, I think, when I say Aesthetic. it's hard to say.
Yeah, you know what the funny thing was? Back when I was I was in grade school, I used to have trouble saying THs. So it's funny that I ended up landing on an artist name that involves such the root, the midpoint foundation of the word is a TH. So I'm like, wow,
yeah.
Look at me, me taking leaps and bounds from the grade school days, I guess. I don't know.
So Aesthetic. I have trouble with my S's. So the letter before that. And it only really comes up when I'm recording a single, it's very subtle, but right. I notice it. And so I avoid using words in my songwriting that have S's if I can help it, which is actually quite hard because it's such a common sound.
It is. I mean, you definitely make the S-ing for tracks much easier by avoiding it. So
yeah. There you go. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, one of the benefits of being a songwriter. Okay. I start off all of my podcasts by getting you in your own words to tell us who are you and where do you come from?
Sure. So I'm Brandon, but my artist name is Aesthetic. The reason that name actually came to be was when I was first planning on releasing music. And this, I come from a background of pop punk music. I played in rock bands, all throughout my teenage years. Yep. And this artist name actually came up simply because it was 2 weeks before I was going to release a new song, and it was the first time I ever released a pop, electronic type of track. But I had no idea what to call the project. I was like, oh, wow, I skipped that step. So I ended up having a conversation. I guess it was one of the new Star Wars movies that was coming out. It had to be based on a Star Wars story because I'm a big nerd like that.
No way.
But my friend and I were just getting into a conversation about one of the movies, and it's like, yeah, the aesthetics in this film are really amazing. They really just, and that's how the term aesthetic just came out of it. And I was like, oh wow, this not a bad idea for a project name.
That's okay. No, it came out from a conversation about Star Wars. That's probably the coolest name origin of all time. I'm just saying,
I mean it's definitely a more fun one to tell than just old band names that I used to come up with just looking up random words in the dictionary and seeing what would stick based on that. But it's kind of cool. It was fitting for me. I'm a nerd, and my artist name was born out of nerd talk. So
this is going to be such a good conversation. All right. Can we have a little bit of a Star Wars conversation? When did that start for you? How long have you been a Star Wars fan?
I think I was 6 or 7 years old when my dad took me to go meet my brother. My dad took my brother and I to go see The Phantom Menace, I think when I was seven or so. And, I was too young to really understand that The Phantom Menace was frowned upon in the Star Wars community, but I just saw cool guys with laser swords and was like, oh sweet, this is awesome. So that's really kind of how it all started for me. I mean, then I ended up going to see the original trilogy. Then I saw the sequel that's the prequel trilogy. And then the latest one is the sequel.
Everything that's coming out in the future too.
So I mean, that was probably 1999, 2000. So probably a good 20 years I've been on the whole Star Wars game. So
it's everywhere in our house. I'm married into the Star Wars fandom, And it's contagious, but it's everywhere.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
It's one of those things. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It's going to reach you at some point.
And what about where you come from? Because you told me where your name came from. Whereabouts are you from?
Sure. So I was born in New York, specifically Staten Island. So my dad was 20 years on NYPD. My mom was in the United States Marine Corps. Wow. And we actually, so my family and I, we actually relocated from New York to about an hour outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And the reason for that was my dad had just retired, and he retired right before 9/11 had happened. And once that had happened, we just kind of wanted to, you know, kind of get away from it all. So I was born in New York. I still got a good amount of family in New York, but I spent most of my life growing up in Eastern Pennsylvania. My family's been there for about 20 years now. But just this past year, myself and my girlfriend, now turned fiance, are now living out in are now living out in Los Angeles, and we've been here almost tail end of March will be a year. So
that's a big move. What took you to Los Angeles?
You know, it was just always something I've wanted to do. I think I remember specifically when I was maybe 17 or 18, I was just kind of, I can't remember exactly what it was I was doing. I just remember there being some day in particular where I was thinking, you know, there's got to be more for that than just, you know, what my hometown has, you know. And it's just been something I've wanted to do ever since then, really. And just, you know, I felt like as far as creative energy goes, I feel like that's large in a city like LA. I mean, I know I had that available possibly in East Coast cities like New York City. But, you know, just I'm also not a fan of the northeastern weather as well. Yeah. I'm not a fan of the cold and all that. It actually, which is funny, it actually rained here this past weekend. So it's a little taste of home for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, to get 99% nice weather all the time. And, you know, most people that I met, I mean, it's kind of hard to meet new people during a new move, especially in the times that we're in right now. But everyone that I've met has been very positive, and you know, it's been a fun experience.
I'm talking to myself all loud again. I'm in another argument with the voice inside my head. It's got me rolling out trips, sticking in the unknown. Shutting out texts coming in on my phone. Another day is wasted, I'm checked out for the night. I wish my friends knew that this is not the way I am. But I've got a bad habit of getting in my head. So I'll call you up because I need you. I'm losing it, don't know what to do. You pick up and ask me why I'm down. So I say, I can tell you why I get this way. But I just wanna be alright in the end. Not me push away, but best believe I'll stay put. I hope tomorrow I'll be happy then.
When did you write your first song? Where's songwriting come in for you?
I've written some songs, but none of them worth remembering. I think it was probably first song I ever tried to write. I was maybe 12 or 13 years old. And now I was very big into rock at that point. My dad had very much raised me on this is how my musical breakdown went. My grandfather raised me on like Elvis Presley, the Beatles, Frank Sinatra.
Yep.
And then my dad raised me on like the 70s and rock of the 70s and the 80s, like the Led Zeppelin, into Van Halen. So I was very much trying to be a rock star at the age of 12 or 13. And I can't even remember the name of the song, but I just know it wasn't my finest work for sure. But
it's not supposed to be.
I mean, exactly. I mean, it's the finest work insofar as me being a 12, 13 year old kid. That's where it all really began for me. I mean, even though I write and, you know, sing and perform over mostly pop, top 40 sounding, like EDM sounding tracks, electronically produced. Pretty much all my songs still are very much the way I've been doing them ever since then, just writing them out on guitar first and then seeing how they translate into it all. So I guess you could say, even though obviously the 12, 13 years old, I'm not writing my best stuff, but the foundation on how I've written pretty much all my music, was kind of built from there going forward. I guess if that makes sense.
Yeah. And so you started playing guitar when you were around 12, or was that an earlier thing?
No, I started playing guitar when I was, I think I just turned eight. I was like 8 or 9 years old when I first started. Parents got me, I had said that I wanted to be a rock star basically to my parents one day, and they bought me a little nylon string guitar. And most people know nylon string guitars for, you know, classical guitar and all that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's
a good learning guitar though.
It is, for sure. But even though I wanted to be a rock star, the song that actually got me into wanting to play guitar was actually more of a pop song. I think it was Michelle Branch's All You Wanted. I think I heard it on the radio when I was riding along with my dad. Well, my dad trying to push his Led Zeppelin and Van Halen onto me at the age of 7, 8 years old. Yeah. I hear this song on the radio, and that's the song that wanted to get me to play guitar. Like, even though after the fact, I came to appreciate guitarists like Eddie Van Halen, RIP, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, I came to appreciate him much more after the fact. It's amazing what things can really set other things into motion, even though you wouldn't think that they would.
Yeah, it's amazing how things will just hit you when you least expect it.
It's been a wild ride, so I credit Michelle Branch for my guitar playing aptitude, I guess. So
was there a clear moment that, like, as you know, you're 8, you get your guitar, and then you're 12 and you want to be a rock star? Was there a moment when, you know, your careers counselor or your parents are like, what do you want to be when you grow up, when you were actually like serious and you go, no, I really want to like actually record and release my own music?
I think my parents have always been pretty supportive of what it is that I've done and all. I don't think they necessarily care as far as like, you know, how they don't care like how I, you know, support myself, as long as I'm able to do it, as long as they feel like I have a plan, they're not like going to be like, oh, we're going to intervene and like, oh, we're going to set you straight on this path and all. No, I mean,
yeah, they're not worried about you being on the streets or anything like that.
Yeah. No, I got to give my mother that peace of mind. They've always been supportive of, you know, music that I make, and, you know, as long as they know that I'm, you know, not, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? As long as they know that they have the confidence I'm able to support myself, and, you know, they're fine with me doing, you know, whatever it is I do. So,
yeah. Do you do music full time, or do you have something else that you do as well?
I don't do music full time. I'm actually, my full time career is, I actually work in sales. We're a raw materials distributor, you know, anything from aluminum, stainless steel, or metals. I really got into that position just to, you know, just kind of support myself while I try to build a life out here. But, you know, I ended up getting my degree in 4-year college in public relations. So I always felt that having that PR degree going hand in hand with, you know, my desire to make music, I thought that would pay off for me in the long run. So
I think it will. Like, I did the same thing. I did a degree in science. Not that that's going to help me, I don't know, in any way, shape or form with music.
Right.
But I did sales for like 8 years. And I think it's actually a really good lesson, especially being an artist. You have to deal with a lot of rejection. And in sales, you learn that, you know, for every 10 no's, there might be one yes. And that's kind of the attitude I think you have to have as an artist as well. It's like 10 people might not like your song, but out of every 10 people that don't, one person will. And if you carry that sort of attitude, then, you know, you'll be okay.
For sure.
Even the biggest superstars in the world don't make everyone happy. Like, it's just not a thing. So
exactly. And, you know, that's why it took me so long to kind of get onto my method of, you know, not only recording, but releasing as well. When I was a, you know, when I was that 12, 13 year old kid trying to be a rock star and all that, I wasn't, I didn't have like any sort of business aptitude or anything like that, or knowledge of like, oh, and you have to have this sort of like, I guess kind of how you compared, like how sales has been helpful and all. It kind of is like plugging your music. It is kind of like cold calling. It really is. Mm-hmm. You're just trying to, you know, throw enough stuff at the wall and hope that something sticks, you know, and that's,
well, it stuck with me.
Yeah.
So yeah. Tell, what are some of your favorite songs that you've released? Cause I've listened to, I think all of them just about, and I've got a couple that I really enjoy. I love, Happy Again and Hold Me Down, but what are the ones that you've written that you kind of go to and you go, I just, even though I know that it's like picking your favorite child sometimes, but like, is there one that you go, I don't know, it does something for you?
I've released now 5 singles under this project now, and each of them kind of have their own story. I actually like to, I have this kind of, much like we discussed at the beginning of the call with, you know, Star Wars trilogies and all that, I kind of felt like my first 3 releases were kind of a trilogy in a sense.
Okay.
So much like how this name was inspired by, that we're even releasing songs in a similar fashion, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
So Happy Again was just kind of my reintroduction to wanting to make music. This was actually my first release as a solo artist, because I'd spent a couple years playing and gigging in the band for about 2 years, from like ages of 18 to 20. And, you know, that was a lot of fun, you know, being able to play out and play with some of the artists that we did. But there was just a whole lot of stress and getting your friends on the same page with you as far as like what you want, what your ambitions for your, you know, songs are, musical project is. And it just, it's just so hard to get everyone on the same page when you're in a band. And it was just so much, you know, frustration with that. I was uncertain if I was even going to make music again. You know, I kind of went a period where I was hoping I was going to try to start another band and hopefully that would catapult me. And then it just came a point where it was like, yeah, this whole trying to do a band thing, it isn't working for me. So I ended up just kind of listening, transitioning into more modern pop. I think I was probably 23 or so when I started getting more into hip hop and more electronically, you know, produced music. That's where it just started to feel the transition. And also the Facebook group that we had met in on the Make Pop Music Producers. I actually had met Austin, who runs the show over there. And also he's produced all my music. I actually knew him early on in we were both in a metal production group. And he wanted to go off and do his own thing, making, you know, like top 40s, like a forum for that. And now it's, you know, gotten to the level that it's at now. But I guess by getting into that group and also opening my mind to other music, that's how it got me to write something that I had never done before, like Happy Again. And I was kind of more like, I was big into Chainsmokers at the time, Zed, that type of music. Yeah. And it just kind of came naturally. And lyrics for Happy Again were really just about, will I ever be happy making music again, is basically the gist of it. Because for so long, it felt like I was trying to force what I loved instead of just letting what I love naturally inspire me. So that's how that song kind of came to be. So I guess as far as, you know, favorite Giles go, I guess it's the song that kind of started it all for me, so I'd have to say Happy Again will always hold a special place in my heart. But I like to think with each release, I like to think that the new one is always the favorite, you know. It's that recency bias is always gonna be forthright, and you want to think that you're leveling up with each release and like putting out a better, more refined product each time.
Never thought that my dreams would come true, but this ain't no accident. I had something to prove. I've been grinding nights into days, saved up, moved to LA. Now I'm soaking up the sunshine of this beautiful place. So many times fame.
I'm feeling good, so good, and I ain't gonna let you bring me down. I'm living good, it's so good. Wish you
your music, it's all fairly positive. Is there like behind this project aesthetic, is there a core message or goal that you're wanting to wrap up in these songs and things?
Just to go back to the Happy Again track, because that was kind of the springboard for me. That one was very much inspired by mental health struggles that I personally dealt with, personally deal with depression. I mean, it's not exactly like a unique case. I mean, so many people, especially now during these COVID times, deal with it. So what I did for that was the money that I made from streams and whatever health it was.
Drop a new hit. You ain't nothing to me. You're only hating cause you're just mad I'm with
it. I'm feeling good, so good.
May not always be the center of everyone's, the center of everyone's attention or look. You are beautiful. You do matter, and it's just you just never discount your value, even if it's not always front and center.
Yeah,
in every moment. So
absolutely, you do matter, and everyone does matter. And I mean, I've struggled with my own mental health. I've had PTSD and all sorts of struggles, and I agree, like a lot of people do. But just because everyone does in their own different way doesn't discount how you feel, and what you're going through. And it would always annoy me, like if I was vulnerable and I might share how I'm feeling, and this happens a lot for people with mental health issues, is other people who clearly aren't able to have compassion or potentially maybe deal with their own emotions, when they see you dealing with yours, can be like, well, everyone feels that, or don't be so silly, or, put concrete in your coffee and harden up, and that's actually probably one of the worst things you could say to someone who's really depressed, because essentially, like, we need to be seen and heard and validated as human beings in every emotion, and every emotion is essential. The only emotion that we experience as human beings, I think, that is completely unessential and actually probably the root cause of all evil is shame. Mm-hmm. Shame is something that is used to control people, and yet it's probably the biggest killer of people. And shaming someone for being depressed or having a negative feeling is like, it's the worst. But I know it doesn't come from like an evil place. It comes from people not being able to deal with their own emotions. And I'm so glad that you're able to put that sort of expression through your music.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal of it. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just – obviously, I have whatever things that I hold dear and what it is that I'm trying to underscore. But with each release, I'm just kind of hoping that, to cite my most recent track, Good, that was released about a month ago. It basically just, live good, feel good. That's really what I'm trying to get across, because, the life that we have here, it's finite. It goes up and down. It could be here today, gone tomorrow. So we might as well just, while we have today, we should, you know, feel and live all, live life to the fullest is what I'm trying to get across. I mean, it's kind of a generic kind of theme, but it's so true.
Yeah. So. And it's true for all of us, whether we want to accept it or not. Yeah. Be in the moment. I think I love, one of my favorite quotes is, there's 2 days we should never really worry about or even think about, and that's yesterday and tomorrow.
I'll have to message you for that one, because I'm gonna have to post it up somewhere or whatever, just like keep it for my own personal archives or something, because that or I could just listen back to this. I'm not sure I'll find it at some point
once it goes live. I think I put it up on my socials a few weeks ago, but like it's such a true thing. Like we have absolutely no control over our past or our future. All we have control over is how we enjoy the moment. And And that's fine. Whatever is, and that's just it, you know? And it's about letting go. And I think that's something that I learned going through like psychiatric hospitals and mental health courses and like a lot of therapy. The best thing that I've learned to, and you know, it doesn't always work, but when I can remember to do it, is to just be in the moment and think about the things that are happening right now and let everything else melt away and potentially write a song. But So I have seen that you've done some collaborations. Were they co-writes? Do you do a lot of co-writing or collaborating, or what have you done with your project so far?
So with my projects, it's been pretty much a two-man job for it. How my process goes is I'll write out the track. Like I said, it starts out on guitar. I try to get a feel and melody, and then I'll write and, you know, arrange a demo. And just do as much pre-pro on my end that I can before I send it over to my buddy Austin, who's like I said, who's heads up the Make Pop Music group. And then he's really good, by the way. Oh, what's that?
I'm very impressed with his production.
Oh yeah, he's the man. He's just every release that I do with him, every track, and also for his own music, he's always just leveling up.
I have to have a chat with him.
Absolutely, you should. He's a good guy. Absolutely. Yeah. So I will send out the demo to him, and then he'll kind of add his. He's very good with the whole sound design and just adding things that I didn't even think that I would perceive hearing when I first started writing the track. So awesome. He just kind of, I send him a raw demo and he kind of beautifies it. It's basically the process. And then
that's what a good producer does.
We'll go back. Yeah. We'll go back and forth, and then he'll, what's good about, working with him is that he's open to, you know, critique and also like going back and forth. But thankfully working with him has been pretty easy, because for the most part, we've been through 5 releases already. We've mostly been on the same page with almost all of them. So, it's been a pretty clear vision, and it's been nothing but good times, from here. So I guess you could say, I write and then, you know, I at least, you know, come up with the bare bones of it, and then he kind of adds his, you know, what he does to, you know, make it more palatable to, you know, more mainstream audience, I guess you can say. So
I mean, I'm not a producer, so like I do the same thing. I'll just send off a rough track of me playing guitar and singing over it, and then be like, what can I do with this? And the people that can create that next level polished sound is like, they're my heroes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's like we get to try and play pop star, rock star, whatever it is. But they, you know, they're the ones who are like the mad scientists working in their heads. Like, oh, I'm going to add this, and like, oh, I'm going to compress this and all that. So I've been trying to do my own production, but it just
me too.
it's hard to, you know, because, you know, when you hear all these awesome productions, it's like, it's inspiring but also discouraging. I'm like, how can I get my stuff to that level and all that? And, you know, I've scoured YouTube many a time for finding videos and trying to find like those quick fixes, but I guess it for a lot of people. And I think relative to when he started up the whole Facebook group, I don't think he had been producing all that long. He just had an ear and he just knew what made sense. And some of it's, you know, a lot of it's just trial by fire, you know, trial and error and all that. And it just, people are just able to get their process, their workflow down, and to the point where they're just cooking up, you know, hit songs like day and night, pretty much. Yeah. So,
and people have their strengths and talents, and it's good to celebrate other people's strengths and talents, but also recognize what your strengths and talents are,
for sure,
and weaknesses. Because if you don't know what your weaknesses are, then you don't know what you need. And
exactly,
like us, we need good producers.
Exactly.
Our weakness, but all right. So when it comes to collaborating with other artists or producers, what's probably the best advice that you would give to someone?
Again, I haven't really done as much as far as like collaboration with other artists. I've actually had talks with other artists about wanting to do collaboration. It just, you know, certain projects just don't end up working out and all.
Yeah.
But I guess the general piece of advice is that it's cool to do collaboration, but just kind of envision how that person you're collaborating with, what it is that they're going to bring to the table that's going to add to your final vision. Mm. Because I can think of so many people who have, you know, do this really well. That I could go to and all that, but at the end of the day, if it's not a fit, if it's not a joint vision, if it's not, you know, if you're just adding, if you're just trying to collaborate with someone for name brand value, you're really just trying to add the best value you can that can get you close enough to what it is your vision is for the track. So I guess basically, if you're passionate about a vision for a song, just don't compromise. I mean, just try to get as many like-minded people involved with it as you can. Just envision, have a vision for your track, have a vision for those people you're bringing in to work on a track, and have a vision for what it is that they can do to help, you know, to supplement what you want your final vision to be.
Outside of collaborating, what would you say the best advice is that you've ever been given?
One thing that really just comes to my mind, it's pretty simple. I'm outside of being involved in music, I'm pretty big into sports. I love my New York sports teams. But anyways, one thing that I hear from, you know, all the sports talk that I feel like it does carry over into all facets of life is just always bet on yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, just nothing's ever going to be easy. Nothing that's ever worth it is ever easy. But if you always just continue to, you know, just have that belief in yourself as much as you can. I mean, some days you're going to be great. Some days you're not so much. But, you know, as long as you just maintain the idea that you're always going to, you know, bet on yourself, you're always going to rely on yourself to get you to where you want to go.
Yeah.
And I feel like you can't really go wrong. So,
yeah, I love that. Bet on yourself. And it's so true. It's like, if you're not betting on yourself, you're betting on someone else. And yeah,
exactly. It's just be responsible for, you know, all the successes and the failures, and don't be afraid to fail, because I've failed many a times, but you know, I'm sure we all have, but you know, it's about what it is how you react to those failures and how you come back from them. And you know, that's just been my guiding force in life and music and pretty much everything.
This is how I've been living my best life from the morning till midnight. I just know I live better having my girl around. She don't do nothing sleazy. She make love to me easy. Best believe I want her to always hold me down. Oh, in 23 years, never had me a chick. Then she came into my life and flipped my mind like a switch. Saying no to her would've been tragic. She educated, getting money, she a modern day bad bitch. I'm
sorry, but I get giddy thinking about a riding shoddy when I pull up in the major cities. 3 years down with forever to go. That's how I know I'll be
living my best life from the morning till midnight. I just know I live better having my girl around. She don't do nothing easy. She make love to me easy. Best believe I want her to always hold me down.
One of my favorite quotes is, and I've lived by this for a long time, is that everyone in life will disappoint you at some point. Your true character is shown by your ability to forgive.
And oh, for sure.
It's kind of the same thing. It's like you're going to be let down. But, you know, if every time someone says no to you, you crack a hissy fit and get all angry. And
right.
I mean, you know, that's going to just reassure them that they made the right choice.
Exactly.
And that's not what you want to do. And I've done that to two people, like when I've had to say no and someone like reacts really bad, like say in the dating scene, someone's asked me out and I've just politely declined and then they get all angry. It's like, well, I'm really glad I made that decision.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not the attitude you want to be leaving in people's mouths. You want to make them regret saying no to you, you know, work hard, be kind, and continue to love people. And I think people do regret saying no to you if you act like that.
Exactly.
Cool. All right. So if someone was to come to you and they were a songwriter or they wanted to be a songwriter, what would be the best piece of advice that you would give them if they're starting out?
Don't be afraid to write one thing and then rip it up and then write a completely different thing. Because I can't tell you the number of times where I've just been on one song and then it's like, oh yes, I'm going to tweak this, and it's shelved, you know. So just be patient with yourself. Let things flow naturally. Don't try to square peg round hole anything. It's important that. This is what we love to do as songwriters. We love to, you know, write music. We love to listen to music. We love all things music. But every now and again, there's going to be like those roadblocks and those hiccups that makes putting one thing in one of your songs just feel unnatural. So just kind of let things come to you naturally. You know, write. Even if it doesn't make sense, something is going to come out of the madness. You know. Like I said earlier, you throw enough things at the wall, something's going to stick. That's just how I'll go about. Just, you know, be yourself and just don't be. Just let things flow. Just let things flow. I guess that's the best piece of advice I can give to anyone who's trying to start off. And be yourself and just, you know, don't force anything. You know,
that's good. That's gold. Gold advice. Love it.
Okay. I'm just kind of thinking on my feet here, so I hope people take some value away from that. I don't know if it's the most profound thing, but I hope some people can you know, I hope it's helpful.
Oh, it's resonating with me absolutely, because I do struggle with, like, I'll have my creative ideas and I'll write them in my room, but then, you know, when I go to work with the producer or collaborate with someone, I think I'm also really quick to maybe believe that everyone else is better than me. And so when they make suggestions or they don't like something that I've got in the song and they want to change it, I'm usually pretty quick to, or I have been in the past, very quick to say, oh, okay, yeah, we'll do that and we'll change that. And then when I've got the final mix, I'm like, oh, I really did like what I had originally. And then I've had like that moment of regret, you know, that I wish I had have stuck to what felt good for me rather than just going with what I was told would be better, because, you know, they're trained professionals in the music industry and blah, blah, blah.
Everyone's an expert, you know?
yeah, exactly. Whereas I think I'm starting to learn to, try and, like what you said, be more authentic to myself and actually trust that if I can just go with the flow and trust my instincts, that it'll work out.
Yeah.
This one's more around your inspirations. So if you could co-write or collaborate with anyone in the world, living or dead, who would it be and why?
Oh, wow. That's a big one. there's a lot of names that come to mind, God, past and present.
Yeah.
So anyone, I would have to say, because I have to, I feel like my grandpa would be proud of me to say this. I would have to say Frank Sinatra, just because I've been raised to believe that Frank Sinatra is the greatest singer of all time. So
yeah,
that's
pretty much a god. Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, I don't know exactly how my style of music would ever coincide with this, but then again, stranger things have happened in music. I hear all sorts of these, you know, older legends or whatever being re-implemented on like pop tracks these days. Yeah. So there's always a way, I guess. But if I had to do past, present, if I had to collaborate with anyone who's not living, it would probably be Frank for sure.
All right. What about living?
Living. Ooh.
Your dream collaboration.
You know, I was actually talked about this in the pop music group a couple days ago, maybe a week ago. What would be your dream producer to work with? And I'm out in LA, but Benny Blanco is one that definitely comes to my mind as far as modern producers who are just crushing it. It was similar in my wheelhouse as far as, you know, what type of music I like to make. And I've watched the show Dave before. And that's on FX or something, and Benny Blanco is in it, and he just seems like such a cool, funny guy to work with. So if I had to work with someone who's still living, and actually he's pretty close to home because I live in LA, and I'm sure he's around here somewhere. So
but I'm sure he's listening. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, if anyone has a plug to give me to Benny Blanco, if anyone has a Please, I'd be more than happy to hear anyone who might be able to get me a good word with Benny. That'd be sweet.
I think it's I love what you said. It would be fun, and like I think the most important thing when working with anyone is that it should be fun, especially in our industry. It's why we do it. You gotta have fun. If it's not fun, move on.
exactly. I mean, that's honestly the best part of all this for me. It's been the new connections that I made, the new people I've been able to meet through all this. I mean, the same guy did my two music videos that I have for Shadow Puppets and for Hold Me Down. We shot them all in the New York City area. Yeah. And every time I got to, you know, I could work with any videographer or whatnot, but I choose to work with him because he's a lot of fun to do. A lot of fun to be around. It's we have a similar vision on things, and you know, if like I said, if you're not having fun with this, what are you doing it for? So
yeah, and that's what you need. You just have fun. You try different people out, and once you find the people that you have fun with and that work, that's your team that you're building. Even though we say solo independent artists,
exactly.
That's far from what we are. It's you're a solo independent artist who works with an amazing group of talented people.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's, you know, teamwork makes the dream work in that sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of going back to how my sales background ties into this. It's you got to have to, not only are you creating stuff as an artist, but if you're trying to, you know, take your stuff to the next level, you kind of have to treat it in like business terms. Like you're not only you're making friendships, but you're also making, you know, meaningful, impactful, you know, like partnerships in a sense.
Business partnerships. So. Absolutely. Because your success is their success.
And exactly.
If they're as ambitious about what they do really well as you are, then, you know, that's where the magic happens, hopefully. So, and actually Nashville taught me that. And it's one of the best lessons you can learn as a, which I hate, solo independent artist. It's just so confusing having those words there, especially like in Australia. There's such a culture of do everything yourself, and it just makes like it's like if you do everything yourself, you have no life. Like you don't,
exactly.
You've got even if you are successful and you do everything yourself, who are you going to celebrate with? No one, because you did it all by yourself.
So, for sure.
Completely different culture.
I get the whole like pride of wanting to do everything yourself and learn, because it if you're, like I said, in business terms, like your project, it's kind of like you're the manager of it all, and you're kind of learning how to do. It's cool to like kind of have your thumb on every little part of the, you know, the production and the release aspect, and having familiarity with all that is cool. But if I didn't outsource for, you know, like I said, the production I do with Austin, if I didn't hire a photographer for the release photos, if I didn't hire a videographer for my music videos, I'd be going insane. So much so that I don't know if it's like, I love music, but do I really want to stress myself all out with all of that? You know, it's just, I'd rather, you know, have the confidence of having a solid and savvy team around me, so that way I could have more time to, you know, focus on the things that I do well, you know, like, you know, with the writing and all that, and just trying to come up with new themes and concepts, I guess. So
you've done really well, and it's very professional, and I love what you're doing, and I just wish you all the success. What have you got coming out this year? You got much planned for this year with your music?
Yeah, so I actually have another track that I have pretty much locked and loaded and ready to go. Just got to lay the vocals really for it, and probably hopefully by the spring, late spring, early summer, I'll want to have another release. I have like this whole big vision for it. I want to do a music video again. I didn't get to do it for this past one, but I do want to do another music video for one of my own releases. And I think this next track would be perfect for it, because it's something I feel like every artist is like, oh, this is different from anything I've ever done before. But no, I really do feel like I'm taking like a different step in a different, but still kind of me direction with this next song. So I'm excited for that. I'm personally trying to get more content compiled to make better use of my YouTube channel. I'd like to put out some cover tracks in the interim, just to just to still get that energy going of just being productive and being able to put out content and let people know, like, hey, I'm still working on stuff. I know it's a gap between me and my next release and all that, but I'm still in the lab. I'm still cooking. So
And then people can get excited and sort of follow your journey and watch what you're doing. What's the name of your next single? You didn't tell us the name, or are you allowed to tell us?
Well, I'm gonna say it here. It's a track's gonna be called it's gonna be called Fever. That's the running title for right now. That's just I say Fever a good bit in the song, so that's that's what we're gonna roll with for right now. But like I said, these things are always subject to change, but that is the running title for right now.
That's cool. Then you can have a running title and it can change. That happens to me all the time. I went to a songwriting retreat once, and they played this game at the start of the retreat where everyone gets up and you don't introduce it, you don't say what the name of the song is, you just sing your original song. And the game is essentially the people should be able to guess the title by you singing the song. And it's kind of a lesson on, you know, if you can't guess the title by listening to the song, then it's the wrong title.
right.
Because, like, you know, if someone's listening to on the radio and they've missed what the name of the song is, they should be able to kind of work it out. You know, if you say Fever 10 times, they might type in Fever / song. Hopefully it's going to come up, you know. I'm wishing all the best of that. I look forward to seeing some new content, new music, new music video. Is there anything else you would like to share before we finish up?
Not every day is going to be the best day, but just always do your best to, like I said in my last track, live good, feel good. That's just the two basic rules that we operate on. Whatever it is you're doing, whether you're songwriting, whether it is you're doing something else in life, that's just the theme I want to leave with people. That's who listens to my music. If you listen to my music, I hope you come away with just a sense of just feeling good, Just like not to plug my track there, but just.
That's what we're doing, man.
Yeah.
We're plugging all of your tracks, and I'm going to put a blog together on the website, have all the links to your music and music videos, YouTube, Spotify, you know, socials, so that people can follow your journey and get to know you and hopefully discover the positive, creative music that you're creating just the way that, same way that I did. And yeah, I really appreciate you doing what you're doing because it is really important work. And it's so great for mental health. And yeah, I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate you spending the time to come and share that with me and the listeners. It's the best.
Yeah. No, thank you so much for having me on here. I know it took a little bit to have this conversation, but you know, I'm so glad we had it, and I've been excited for it for a little bit now. So I'm glad we got to do this. So thank you.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much. Thanks for joining our songwriter Tris today. To join the family and keep up to date with future podcasts, you can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. Please leave a review and subscribe. To support the podcast or contact me or our guest, please go to the website songwritertrists.com. The crowd, no one can hear me. Wish I could